sometimes we would start having a discussion about something and it would go for like 30 minutes. And there's just something I think about being in person where that conversation flows so much easier than in a Zoom meeting. And those were like the golden parts of the time together, I think, those discussions that we would have. Listeners, before we get into this week's episode, we just wanted to let you know that this is an episode that Charlie and I recorded last year, didn't we, Charlie?
Yes, we were a little bit chaotic with our episode recording last year. And honestly, we didn't even realize that these ones hadn't gone live. And so we thought instead of them just sitting in the hard drive and, you know, gathering digital dust, we wanted to put them together and get them out to you because we still really enjoyed the conversation. Welcome to Design Life, a show about design and side projects for motivated creatives. I am one of your hosts, Charlie.
I'm your other host, Femke, and we're going to talk about something that's kind of timely for Charlie and I today. We both have recently been on a work trip. We've both come home now. We've spent some IRL time with our teams, and we thought we would talk a little bit about this in the context of how to make the most of sort of in-person time together with your team, whether it's a team retreat or a team offsite. Maybe you're getting together once a quarter, maybe it's once or twice a year, especially in this new sort of working world where a lot of us are working remote now. So the time together in person is rare and really valuable and special. And so given we both have recently been on one of these trips and spent time with our teams, we thought it would be the perfect time to talk a little bit about those special events and how we kind of make the most of them, what we get out of them, and how we plan and prepare for them. But before we jump into it, a little bit of a catch up. Charlie, I know you've been traveling recently for this. How have you been? What's been going on? Other than that,
I feel like travel has been the main thing that's been going on for me. Travel and just like, you know, keeping my shit together with life. Been pretty busy. So side projects have taken a bit of a backseat. I ended up taking the full month of August off uploading videos.
Wow.
And it wasn't intentional.
It just kind of happened.
Because I was busy. Yeah. And I actually only just, I mean, we're recording this mid-September and I only just uploaded another video again. So it's kind of like a 6-week break, I guess, which I don't feel great about. I would like to be more organized and more consistent.
It feels long for you. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. But hey, it happened and I'm trying to like go easy on myself for that because ultimately I'm juggling a lot and I gotta go easy on myself if I can't do it all. But yeah, I've got more travel coming up as well. My parents are coming to visit, which I'm excited about.
Yay.
And so for the next 2 weeks, it's like 2 weeks, I'll go on a trip around Spain with them. I'm like, okay, let me try and get organized a bit and move some projects forward, because before I know it, it's going to be the end of the year and I don't want to end the year being like, oh, I wish I'd made time for that, you know?
Yeah. I know you usually have like your little sticky notes.
My stickies? Yeah.
Yeah. Of things you want to do, I believe each quarter, right?
Yep.
How are you tracking? Give us an overall update.
Well, I'm looking at the board right now and there is a lot of stickies that have been like moved out of my like four columns that I have where I've realized there ain't no freaking way that's happening this year. But that's okay. There's still a bunch in there I think that I can do. I like to be overly ambitious, so I don't feel too bad about all the stickies that have moved off. To answer the question, I guess it's not going great, but it's going.
Do you have like a focus for the last quarter or like one thing, one project that you really want to get done?
Yeah, the book. It's not going to get done, don't get me wrong, but I want to make more progress on it. I keep saying I want to, and it's very difficult.
Yeah, it's so much work.
But I'm going to go on a yoga retreat in November. It's just for the weekend, but it's like getting outside the city a bit. I've been wanting to go on a writing retreat like you did for your course. And I was like, I'm going to combine them. I'm going to go on this yoga retreat. And in the downtime, I'm going to write my book. And so I'm looking forward to that in November.
I think it'll be really good. I don't know if I would have been able to do the course if I didn't give myself a writing retreat. It was so valuable to just have 2-3 days of uninterrupted solo me time. No one else was with me at this Airbnb in the woods, very remote, just me and my laptop. It was just great for productivity. I highly recommend it. I think it'll be good for you.
If it goes well, I think I will do one staycation in a hotel just to focus on writing and no yoga. What about you?
Yeah, I have been, what have I been doing? I just got back from Denver last night for a team offsite, which we'll talk about soon. Next week, I'm going to San Francisco for another team offsite. It's like team offsite season. So a bit of travel, which is not that common for me anymore to be traveling so much, but I have really been enjoying it. Course wrapped up. I don't know if we recorded since the course wrapped up, my cohort 2 that went through the whole month of August went super well. The feedback I got was slightly better than cohort 1. So that's promising. I'm glad.
Nice. The changes you made took effect?
Yeah, the changes that I made clearly were valuable and people really appreciated that. So that's really good. Another super good learning.
Can I just say too that like the feedback you got from cohort 1 was overwhelmingly very positive. So to have even better feedback for cohort 2 is fantastic.
Yeah.
Just so people are aware.
Thank you. Thank you. It is super nice because basically Maven, the course platform I use, people can give the course a star rating out of 10, 1 to 10, 10 being amazing and when 1 being this was crap. Yeah, so you get an average out of that, basically. And so my average rating was a bit higher this time than last time.
Nice.
Which is really great. So that makes me feel good. I think I maybe shared on this podcast that I was slightly worried the course was going to be a one-hit wonder because cohort 1 went so well. So it's been really nice to see cohort 2 also went really well. And of course, I continue to get feedback on how to improve the course, which is such a gift. And so, yeah, I'll be thinking about revisions and changes to make for cohort 3 in 2024.
That's exciting. Very cool, Fem. I'm glad that it went well. Tell me more about your offsite you were just on in Denver, though. Let's start there.
Yeah, so this was technically like 2 working days, but ended up being about 3 days offsite. Most of my direct team is in Denver. We have some in, well, like on West Coast, some on East Coast. So Denver was kind of a nice meeting middle point, literally. So we all got together in Denver. There was probably about maybe like 12 of us. And it was just my domain team. So it was 2 product managers, 2 engineering managers, me representing design. We had our kind of like GM, we had legal person, we had our operations person, our product marketing. So kind of all the leads of the domain, the team I sit on at Gusto. And the purpose of it was really to talk through H2 planning. So planning for the second half. It's September, so people might think like, that's a bit late. So for context, Gusto does not work the calendar year when it comes to planning and cycles, which can be very confusing. So we are from, I think, October, November is actually the start of our H2. And the reason for this weird cycle is we line it up with like accounting and benefit calendars because we're an HR payroll company. So the cycles are a little bit off and a little bit different from the calendar year. But all that is to say, we came together, we spent 2 days like from 8:30 to 5 p.m. going through multiple sessions. Everyone had an opportunity to lead sessions and really talking about planning, focus, and vision going forward. And of course, we had some fun like team building, bonding times built in around that as well.
Nice. Because so I just got back from France for my team retreat. How many people were in these meetings for yours? Did you?
I'd say like 12, 15 max. Yeah.
I think we were about, maybe we were like 70, maybe a little bit less, high 60s.
That's a big group to all be together. Yeah.
Big group. So ConvertKit gets together twice a year, the whole company or like everyone who's available. You know, sometimes people have life stuff happening or they can't travel for a reason. And we got together this time in France in this chateau. And it was kind of like a more special retreat because it's our 10-year anniversary as a company this year. And
oh, wow.
Doing well. We're profitable. Wanted to celebrate a bit. That was really cool. I really enjoyed it because I only had a 2-hour flight, whereas usually I'm like traveling for more than 12 hours to get to our team retreats.
Yeah, true. That must have been such a nice change for you.
It was a nice change. But yeah, I think I've been on about 9 ConvertKit team retreats now. So, you know, I've been at the company for nearly 7 years. We had obviously a few years we didn't have them because of COVID, but I've seen retreats go from being 20 something people was at my first one. And they were like very casual, very much felt like a bunch of friends co-working together to these like more structured, more organized, larger events now that we have with the 60 or so people.
Yeah, once you get to that amount of people, you need some structure, I guess. Some more organization.
You do. You really need more structure. I don't plan the retreat as a whole, but yeah, our operations team have done a great job of planning because they balance work sessions where we're like discussing strategy, making plans together with more of connection time where it's like, oh, your job this afternoon is to, as an example, make a chantilly cream with your teammates. And we had like this cooking class and that was really fun and like just chances to connect because those like human connections do, you bring them into your remote work and you can work better alongside people remotely when you've spent time together in person, I believe.
Totally. So what is the purpose, I guess, of these retreats? Is it just about like team bonding, connection time, or is there also like a work component to it?
Definitely both. So team connection and bonding is valuable because it's like what powers our productivity and the way we work effectively together the rest of the year. But there's also like we treat them as our every 6 months like check-in on where is the company at? Where are we going? What's the most important problems we need to solve together as a group? Like let's have those conversations while we're together in person. Retreats for me now as a manager look very different to what they did when I was an IC. When I was an IC and designer doing my work, didn't have anyone reporting to me, I was responsible for showing up to sessions and like contributing to the discussion. Maybe there might have been a doc or two I had to read in advance that I had to prep something for, but that was it. Now as a manager, I am responsible for making sure my team gets the most value from the retreat that they can. So there's like 3 to 4 sessions, like blocks throughout the week that is like an individual team time where it's me and the brand studio team. And it's up to me what those sessions are. And that has become more challenging to like have to plan those and be like, okay, how do I plan a valuable session together? This is the conversation we need to have. What's the most productive way to have it? Gather everyone's ideas. How do we close it out at the end? Feeling like everyone was heard, but also like they're clear on what next steps are and all of that. I quite enjoy it, honestly, because it's like planning a real life fig jam. And I love planning a fig jam. Setting up like what are the containers that we need to have this conversation and what prompts do we need to make this productive? Should it be brainstorming on sticky notes? Should it be more freeform? Does it need to be journaling time? Should there be slides and be more structured? And all those sorts of things is what I have to think about.
Yeah. So how structured is it? Is there a slide deck that you all walk through and people prepare slides for conversation? Or is it more kind of like free form and focused on no screen time, just discussion?
So the all team sessions, because we have usually like 3, maybe I would say, that are the whole company together where Nathan or the other execs are presenting on like our strategy, where we've been, where we're going, that sort of thing. They're usually pretty good at making them not just death by PowerPoint. So for example, when we do all team meetings, we always like to start with a poll. And so someone will drop a link to this poll software and it's like you vote on what you think, what your guess is, it's an answer to a question, how you feel about something. And so they did a real life version of that. They had A, B, C, D on paper around the room and they put the question and the answers up on screen and you had to move to where you wanted to answer. So yeah, things like that to keep us moving and not have everyone feel like they're being lectured to. But there is definitely structure to the all team sessions. Yeah.
I think it's a balance, right? Because nobody wants to sit in a meeting room watching slides for an entire day. And I like how you break it up a little bit with those different activities. Ours was definitely mostly work focused. Everyone sort of had a topic or responsibility to come and present or talk or facilitate a discussion about something in particular. My one, just to share as an example, was a bit of a reflection on what are 3 things we should stop doing and 3 things we should start doing. And so I led this through a fig jam. So I didn't have any slides. I just had the fig jam board that I'd pre-set up with different areas for facilitating that conversation. And yeah, that went really, really well. Other folks did have slides where they sort of were more pitching something to the team and there was a lot of discussion. One person, they were like, I don't know how to use fig jam. So we're going back to sticky notes. So we did all the sticky notes on the whiteboard, which was really great. And he ended up with like 100 post-its that he had to take home. We also had someone ran a trivia session where similarly we had to run and put our answer under like A, B, C, D. So that was really fun too. Yeah, it was just a really nice way for us to get together and have some really, really good discussions. What was surprising to me, but then I realized like, oh, I don't know why I was surprised about this, is sometimes we would start having a discussion about something and it would go for like 30 minutes, right? And it's like, okay, we could clearly talk about this for a long time. How do we rein this back in? And there's just something I think about being in person where that conversation flows so much easier than in a Zoom meeting. And those were like the golden parts of the time together, I think, those discussions that we would have.
I love that. So we have, maybe it's from like 9 till 3, you'll have sessions like with breaks, obviously, like you're gonna have lunch at some point and a coffee break, but then it's downtime for the rest of the afternoon and then dinner all together in the evening. honestly, I feel like the downtime, quote unquote, is just as productive as the sessions, because that's when you sort of have those more like free flowing discussions about, oh, this came up today. Or like, I had one conversation at the retreat that it was like a 4-hour strategy discussion over dinner.
Oh, wow.
I just sat down at a table and a bunch of my workmates were like already into this topic of strategy. It was just fascinating. I joined in and we ended up like closing down the Chateau restaurant and essentially being kicked out and moved into the foyer because we kept talking for so long, and it was really valuable. I felt closer to my team because of it, and I got more clarity on the strategy, got to hear others' viewpoints and got excited about some new things from that conversation. And yeah, those are the sorts of things, the like ad hoc conversations that don't happen as much on Zoom.
I wish we had more time built in for that. We pretty much had sessions. There was like a schedule from 8:30 until 4:35. Even like lunch was only 30 minutes. We were like really packing all of this in. I managed to have some like one-on-one conversations with some of the folks, you know, afterwards or at like the dinner we would have that evening or whatever activity. And those were really valuable, to your point, like just continuing those conversations in smaller group settings or connecting one-on-one with folks. And I would have loved to have more of that time, I think, built into our schedule for like downtime, time to catch up on your emails, time to just chat one-on-one, have conversations about the topics we've been talking about. Yeah, that's probably some feedback I will give back to my team.
I'm curious to know for you how offsites, retreats, like whatever we want to call them, feel now that you're a manager compared to when you were an IC. Do they feel different for you? Is there more responsibility on you?
I didn't really attend them until I was a manager.
Interesting. Right, because you're in person.
Yeah, in the companies I've been a part of, usually those offsites are for like the leads or the managers.
Okay.
And the ICs typically aren't part of that conversation. For whatever reason, like there's a lot of people on the team. Not everyone needs to be in the room for those high level strategy conversations. It's kind of in a way my first time being in something like that. In the past, I have visited offices or I've gone to travel to meet my PM in San Francisco for a week to work through a problem or kick off a project together. But I haven't really done like a, okay, this is a really intentional planning leads only kind of session. So
Where we're all stepping out of our regular day to day and yeah.
Exactly. Like laptops are closed. Slack is like, do not disturb. Yeah, I would say it's kind of my first time because it's my first time as a manager.
Well, okay, then how did the offsite match up to your expectations of what they would be like?
I mean, I had to pinch myself at some point. I was like, man, it's so cool. I'm in the room. How cool that I get to be in this conversation. Because yeah, usually I just get this information waterfalled back to me in a summarized way. So I did feel very cool to be in the room. I also felt self-inflicted pressure to like represent design of like, okay, I'm the only designer in this room. I got to represent the craft, represent the practice, speak up for the user, which all like came naturally. It wasn't a struggle, but it was also just that realization of like, I'm here for a reason and I'm representing a discipline in this room. I think it was really great to be in those conversations and also validating to me that I enjoyed it. And I was like, yeah, this is what I enjoy. Like, I do really enjoy these kinds of strategic conversations and talking about planning. And it was like a good, I guess, validation of like, yeah, I feel like I'm in the right role. This is the kind of conversations I want to be having.
That's so good, fam. Love that that was the takeaway. I feel the same way. Like, I love getting to be involved in strategy conversations. And like I also said, I really quite like arranging a session and like saying, okay, this is what we want to get out of it. How am I going to make that happen? What structure do I need to put in place? I feel like when I was little, I always used to say I wanted to be a teacher. And this is me like, you know, this is my lesson plan.
This is you teaching.
Yeah. Not like I'm teaching a lesson, but I'm like arranging the structure for this time we're spending together, which is really great. One thing that I learned actually, if I can share from this retreat, is about the importance of the setting that you have the conversations in. So we got together for our first Just Brand Studio team strategic session. This was on the Wednesday. So we'd had Monday and Tuesday is mostly all team meetings and maybe cross team meetings where growth met with product or whatever. But this was our first time to have like a strategic session just as our team. And we were sitting outside on the terrace, like under an umbrella. Two people didn't even bring their laptops because they were like, they had died during the day. This was the last session of the day. Generally, the vibe from the group was more casual, which I was like, I created this because I got us to meet outside on these sofas under this umbrella. It was okay for that session because we did have it more as like a, okay, let's talk about all the strategic updates and things we've heard. Like, how does it apply to our team? And it was more of a conversation and I took notes and gave prompts to hear from my team. But I knew that the next day I was like, okay, I want us to get down to business more.
Business time.
Yeah. Clearly sitting outside is not going to do it for us. We were in this hotel, right? And they had meeting rooms available to us. And I noticed that, oh, there's this one meeting room. No other team has booked yet. I'm going to say that we're going to take it for the day. And so that's where we, as a brand studio team, met the next day. And so we had an actual table. There was a screen. We had some charts up with sticky notes around the room. And it all felt a little more formal than maybe I would have preferred. But it did what we needed it to do. It put people more in a work mode than sitting outside on the sofas did. So that was something that I learned and that I'm going to consider next time is like, okay, not only what do I want to get out of this session and what questions do I ask and like structure do I need to put in place to make it happen, but where should it happen so that we can best reach this result?
And what like vibe or environment do you want to create? And that can be really important depending on the topic, right? If you're just doing, oh, fun team building, it can be a lot more casual than, okay, now we really did talk about strategy. Maybe consider that.
Yeah, exactly.
So next week, I'm going to San Francisco for another offsite, which is just the design leads.
Cool.
So it's run by our head of design and it's all the design managers and directors and leads all together.
How many people will be at that one?
I think that will be 15, 20 maybe, so a bit bigger. And I just looked at the schedule yesterday and day one is just a fun day. We're going on a food tour. So the whole day is just food tour around San Francisco.
Nice.
And then the second day is future forward visioning, like strategic design planning. And I'm so excited. I'm really glad that they're spending the first day. So many of us have never met before. And so it's kind of intimidating to me to think if we were to go into a room at 9 a.m. on Monday and be like, okay, planning time, right? Like, who are these people? I've seen you on Zoom for a bit, but, you know, don't have really much connection. So I'm really glad that they're prioritizing that bonding team connection time for day one. And we're just doing fun, non-work related things outside of the office, which already I think creates a different dynamic, right? And then day two is now let's get down to work. So I'm looking forward to that.
Nice. So we always have, or always, for the past few, like because we've realized this works well, Tuesday afternoons are generally activity time. So that's where like there's a few different options. Usually there's something that's more adventurous, something more chill.
And you like sign up.
Yeah. If you just want downtime to yourself, even just hang around. So like here, the options were that Chantilly cream cooking class. Some people went to a theme park. Some people went to explore a nearby little French village. These were some of the options that we had. I actually think it's better that we do it on a Tuesday and not the Monday. Yes, we've been thrown straight into sessions and stuff. And we've had like that all team strategy conversation the day before. But then I think that conversations about it can come up more naturally when you're doing out of the office type stuff. So yeah, that is one thing I will say that we've found works well for us.
Yeah, that makes sense because then you've had some time to talk about work and then now you're having like fun time where those conversations could come up a bit more naturally.
The context has been set, I guess, for the week we have together and what we need to get out of it. I don't know, now that I'm thinking about it, our retreats kind of start on Sunday evening, actually. And that is, on Sunday evening, there's no sessions. That's just everyone having dinner together. And we do our profit sharing circle because it's every 6 months is when we get a share in the profits of ConvertKit and everyone shares, what are you going to use yours for? Some people are like, I'm going to buy a house and do some renovations. And I'm like, I bought Gucci shoes.
Priorities, love priorities. Them.
But yeah, I guess is our more like, let's start off with just connection thing. And then on Monday, 9 o'clock, we get into the strategy. So maybe I'll revert what I said.
It's a balance, right? I do believe on Monday morning, we do have the first 2 hours of like a welcome. Why are we here? What do we want to get out of it? There is some like ground setting. It's not like, oh, we're meeting at this taco bar and we haven't seen each other yet. So there is some introductory session and then we all like go on this adventure, I guess, or this excursion together.
Is there anything that you feel like you learned about being at an offsite from this one that you had in Denver that you're going to bring into the one in SF?
Oh, bring to the one in SF. I don't know. That's tricky. Probably not. I feel like I'm more removed from the SF one where it's being organized by our like design ops team. I feel like I'm kind of just showing up, going along for the ride.
Right. So you're like a participant in that one rather than a presenter. Yep.
I'm a participant. I'm not really responsible for anything. Whereas for the one I had this week, I did have some responsibility of like, I have to run this 1 hour workshop. I feel less so in a position to influence the one that's happening next week. But I do feel like an overall takeaway for me was we need to do this more often. This was like the first time our team had got together since COVID, even before I joined the company. Some folks hadn't seen each other in 3 years, even though they'd been at the company the whole time. I think that was a takeaway for everyone of like, we need to be doing this more regularly, at least twice a year. Every quarter would be great, but we'll see. So that was, I think, a big takeaway for everyone of just a good reminder of how valuable the in-person time was.
Yeah, I love that. I wonder too if you'll find it feels different to be at this SF retreat now that you know what it's like to be a facilitator for offsite stuff. Is that going to change how you show up?
Yeah, I don't know. Probably will in some way. I feel like also when the group is managers and above, there is a bit more of an expectation in general for people to show up and be engaged versus ICs, which is more just about like consuming the content. Yeah. And I think my group this week was really engaged. Like most of the time folks had their laptops down, were really participating, were really engaged. And I think that's just because it was so rare for us to be together. I can sit on Slack for like 11 months of the year back at my desk at home, right? And so really wanted to make the most of the time that we had in person. So it was really great.
Nice. It is quite different, I guess, being on the ConvertKit retreats because everyone in the company is on the retreat or like knows that it's happening. And so there's not so much Slack to even tempt you at being distracting. But I did find that when we're at Config and the whole design team at ConvertKit went to Config, I guess that was technically an offsite we had as a design team. And that was challenging because of the rest of the company was moving on.
Right. Yeah, I think that was a bit challenging for us, the leads. We actually also had a product launch on one of the days. So like the team was still hustling. They were busy working. They were launching something. We were like a little bit, I was like, okay, is it all going out? Is it all okay? So that is a little bit challenging, I guess. Very different from if everyone is doing the same thing, then you can have probably a little bit more focus.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, I'm excited to hear how the SF offsite goes.
Yeah, me too. I will let you know.
I have suggested that as a growth leadership team, so this is myself, the director of marketing, sales, customer experience, etc., that we should all get together in between retreats for a planning session. Because one thing that happens on the ConvertKit retreat at the level that I'm at is there's no dedicated time for us to meet as a growth leadership team. It's like we're meeting with the teams we manage, we're meeting with the wider growth team, we're meeting as an all company, but there's not a time where we're just meeting as managers and our teams are off doing something else. We sort of invented some of that time at this retreat. We used some of our downtime for it. So it was very exhausting by the end of the week because I had hours more meetings than my team did, but it was worth it. And yeah, we want to do it more often. We had that same sense that you and your team did.
Yeah, that's important. Yeah, I would say one other takeaway from this offsite we had this week, we didn't really talk about it, but it was kind of at the end, we were like, okay, we need to figure out how to digest all of this and share it back with our teams, right? Like we don't want this conversation and this time together to stay in this silo. We need to now communicate and like package this up and share this back to the engineers, to the designers, like to everyone else on the wider team. So it's like a big action item for all of the leads now is, okay, how do we distill all of this and re-gift it back to the team? Because we all felt really energized as leads. So now we're like, okay, we need to bring that energy to the rest of the team. So that's kind of our responsibility and next on our list to think about.
Well, fam, where can people go for more episodes of this show?
Yeah, if you like topics like this, we talk a lot about work, a lot about side projects, a lot about design, remote stuff. You can head to designlife.fm and you'll find our entire catalog there.
Yes. And if you have a request for something you want to hear us talk about related to any of those topics, we always want to hear about it. Feel free to reach out to us over email, hello@designlife.fm. And I guess I'll say on X, ugh, I hate saying that, @designlife.fm.
I'm in pain.
I don't even know if I want to encourage that anymore, but hey, it exists.
It exists for now still. Yes, please let us know if you have a topic. We'd love to hear it and we can sort of share it anonymously and help you out.
All right, fam. See you next time.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.